For the last 30 years or so, I've been a traveling businessman for a tourism company on the East Coast. One night I checked into a seedy motel room in the middle of the weird rundown tourist district of Kissimmee, Florida. At around 2 a.m. when I was about to go to sleep, I heard a knock at my door. I looked out the peephole and saw that the hotel's housekeeper was in visible distress. She was rocking back and forth and chewing her fingernails. I opened the door and she gazed at me listlessly, too afraid to speak. A cold breeze blew through her head of poofy white hair. I started to ask her what was wrong, but it was like she had seen a ghost. Then I noticed a small stream of urine started dripping down her wrinkly old leg. I decided at that point that I definitely needed to get her help. So I started guiding her to the front office. But on the way down the hall, I saw that the door to the room next to mine was slightly open and swaying in the wind. From inside the room, I heard this faint carnival ride jingle and what sounded like a man whimpering into a pillow. I asked from outside the door if everything was okay, but then he immediately went silent. Not really knowing what else to do, I continued helping the housekeeper to the front office. I opened the front doors to a dingy yellow front desk area with a giant photo of two couples getting into a roller coaster with 1980s apparel on. I walked around looking for someone working there, but no one was in sight. The woman suddenly fell to the ground and began convulsing. I then shuddered as a deep guttural moan bellowed out from her mouth. Totally freaked out, I grabbed the phone on the front desk and dialed 911. Someone answered immediately. It was a robotic voice that was simply counting down. 123, 122, 121. I hung up the phone in a panic and tried my cell phone. To my horror, I heard the robotic voice again, counting down from my cell phone. Out of other options, I decided to carry her to my rental car and get her to a hospital. So then the two of us bursted out of the cheap lobby doors and out into the pitch-black parking lot. My car was parked at the other end of the motel, past my room. So I grasped the woman tightly and began the trek to the car. However, she wasn't a small woman, so it wasn't easy. She was practically comatose at this point, just making small weeping noises with every step I took. Up ahead was the room that had the weeping man inside. Trying to avoid it, I slowly edged by, but when I was almost completely past, the housekeeper began coughing and spit up blood onto my leg.
"Who's out there?"
the man from inside the room said. My legs froze as I tried to stay silent. Sadly, it didn't work, though. His door creaked open, and a hunched-over silhouette hobbled to the door, swaying back and forth. His hair was long and shaggy, and dripped with sweat. He looked totally out of it, but then started to speak.
"They just want a ride, you know. Just a ride,"
he said, beginning to laugh hysterically.
"Just let them."
His torso ripped open, revealing a steel interior that looked like a machine. It was in a lip shape and used fans and steam to levitate above the ground. It approached me slowly as if analyzing my body's vitals. I instantly turned and started running as fast as I could, with the incapacitated housekeeper still over my shoulder. But the floating robot, oddly, didn't react. It merely turned on its axis and flashed this red light at the woman. By the time I got to my car, I could tell she was in serious distress. Her blood suddenly poured down my side, and as a knee-jerk reaction, I accidentally dropped her. Then four metal tentacle-like arms bursted out from her sides, wriggling chaotically. A machine, similar to the other one, became visible as it ripped out from inside her. I dove towards the car and jiggled the door handle. Then the robot swung its arm at me and latched a tube into my side. Then it started trying to pump some sort of gel into me. I grabbed its tentacle and tore it out from my skin before it could continue, leaving a giant circular wound on my side. I then threw the car door open, jumped in, and slammed it. My keys were in the ignition and the car was on faster than I thought possible. Putting the car in reverse, I pulled away from the robot. Once I was totally backed up, I saw it floating ominously in front of my car about a foot off the ground, but not moving, just floating there. I decided to accelerate in reverse until it was out of sight. Around the corner, I luckily found the exit and peeled out of it. Turning onto the main road, I noticed it was strangely very empty. Kissimmee is right outside of Disney World, and there are normally thousands of tourists driving around all the time, forcing their way into your lane and cutting you off constantly. But not tonight. It was totally dead for some reason. I pulled into an empty gas station, tried to catch my breath. I took out my phone and attempted to see if maybe I could get a hold of the cops, but there was still no reception. As I turned my dial on my radio, I expected the news, but what I heard were indistinct beeps and static emanating over the speakers. Then, very quietly, I heard the countdown again. Except now it was a much lower number. 10, 9, 8. From behind the gas station, I witnessed several robots slowly hovering out. Then out of nowhere came this giant steel vehicle, rolling slowly down the middle of the main road, with a pointed front and enormous backside. Several of the robots glided towards it, and once they were close enough, they mechanically transformed and attached to the vehicle, making it larger and larger. I left the gas station as fast as my little hatchback could take me, and luckily got away from it without being noticed. But then once I got onto the highway, I saw that whatever had happened had affected much more than just the small tourist area I was staying in. Towns and cities were burning as far as the eye could see. Then an airplane came crashing down in the distance. As I escaped from the populated city, my fear of what was happening in the world was somehow trumped by another more significant one. My side, with the wound from the robot, started throbbing, as if something was trying to push its way out. If you're hearing this recording now, I hope that someone was able to stop these things, at least for my family's sake, even if I won't be there to see it.